Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Schedule is out, dropped last night in full, so now we know. We know the when. We knew the who and the where. We now know the when of the Texans' schedule, and this is a fun schedule, man. And I think my early biggest takeaway, Seth, when I saw this schedule was that the Texans' demise as far as being a draw on TV, I was maybe a little exaggerated. I think I had heard people saying, man, maybe two primetime games just based on how they had played in primetime games last year. You know, they certainly ended last season with a different vibe around them league-wide than they had coming off of CJ's rookie year when they were thought to be one of the real rising hottest teams. And they were still good last year. They were 10-7, but it was not as watchable a 10-7 as CJ's rookie year was when he was throwing 23 touchdowns and just 5 interceptions. They're going to be on primetime 4 times this year, and that goes over, I think, the total. You and I had talked about 2.5, 3.5 being the total. They get 4 primetime games, and the 4 primetime games, they're spread out, unlike last year when 3 of them were literally 3 weeks in a row. I thought that was a rough stretch. They're spread out. There's one in each month of the schedule. They open at home on Monday Night Football in week 2. The home opener is against Tampa Bay. And then 5 weeks later, they're on Monday Night Football in Seattle, which is the side eye of all the primetime games. That's the side eye one to me. I'm like, huh, yeah. Texans in Seattle.
9 p.m. start time locally. That's not Eastern time. That's locally. So
for the Seattle game?
Yes.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yes. Yes.
9 p.m. 9 p.m. here. The game's in Seattle.
9 p.m. Central. So yeah. No, yeah, 9, gotcha. 9 p.m. Central. Sorry. Okay, yeah. Not in the home location. I'm at local. For anybody, because a lot of times people are looking at schedules online where they're all in Eastern time.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
9 p.m. No, but still. That's a late game. This is the one little asterisk I'll put next to the primetime games, because we are careening towards a world where you're gonna have to download a different streaming app every single time you want to watch any different game.
Yeah,
two of them for in Houston you can watch these primetime games on local television,
right?
But nationally, if you're not either in Seattle or in Houston, for instance, you got to watch that one on ESPN Plus.
Yeah.
And likewise with the Thursday night game, you got to watch it on Amazon Prime.
Yep.
So it's more like, yes, they're prime time, but they don't have necessarily the same center stage appeal that the broadcast.
ABC, Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Bah, 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 bah. Or just an old school ESPN.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So Tampa Bay week 2 at home, Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football in Seattle. I had not seen that start time yet. That postgame show is going to go till 3 in the morning.
Oh, just, no. And then you have to do a radio show in the morning with me.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not a 2-hour show on a Monday either. It's a 4-hour Thursday or Tuesday show. Yeah.
That's almost going to be, you might be doing the postgame show until like 3:30 a.m.
That's what I just said. Yeah, 3 in the morning.
I know
yeah.
you said that. I'm just thinking like the so 3:30 to you might have 2.5 hours. You're just not
I'll
gonna
just
be able
stay
to
up.
Sleep.
I'll just stay up. Yeah, I'll just stay up. And then I'll
so we're going to rely on me being the guy that can keep track of stuff administratively?
He's the ABCs of me, baby. Yes.
That's going to be everybody. That is appointment listening.
Tune
it's
in.
It's going to be a train wreck.
Absolutely. Tune
Texans
in.
Texans better win. I'll tell you that much.
Sleep-deprived Sean and probably somewhat sleep-deprived Seth, too, if we're being honest. You know, like you're.
I just won't watch the game. You can explain it to me. You can explain the game to me.
Yep.
That'll be entertaining well. For the listeners.
That'll go well. The other two primetime games, Thursday Night Football in Week 12 at home against Buffalo, that will be fun. And then Sunday Night Football at Kansas City. The league just gave me a big middle finger on that one. I'm like, can we get Kansas City like at noon in October? They're like, no, Sean. It'll be in December at night on Sunday Night Football. Screw
listen,
you.
Listen, I ain't scared of the Chiefs. I don't give a damn about this. The only team that intimidates me personally, yeah. the one that really makes my gut start to get a little bit bubbly, is the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
They face the Baltimore Ravens with one week before the bye week.
Yep.
And that's the big test for me. Because the Chiefs, at the very least, the Texans have recently slugged it out with them for three quarters,
sure.
at least. The Ravens, the last three times they've played them have been non-competition.
Yeah.
You gotta get over this Ravens hump.
Yep, you do. That's in Week 5 in Baltimore. All right, so how are we feeling about the opener, Seth? The opener is the Nick Caley Bowl in Los Angeles. Caley going back to where he his old stomping grounds from the last couple of years, Texans' new offensive coordinator, for those who aren't up to speed on that. He's going back, a little teacher against pupil thing going on in L.A. in Week 1.
Yeah, the first thing I thought when I saw when I knew the Rams initially were going to be an opponent, it was, okay, how's the 2025 Texans offensive O-line, line going to do yeah. versus that Rams defense? Because in training camp last year, we saw in training camp that the Rams rookies, they had the two rookies that looked really good, Jared Verse and then Fisk there.
Brandon Fisk, yep.
They went off versus the Texans' offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, that was one of the instances where CJ couldn't get a playoff because those rookies were going off against the Texans, whichever starters they had in that day. They've got a very good defensive line, and we don't know what the Texans' offensive line looks like yet. So that's a huge test.
Yeah.
Week one, numero uno.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
This is like for Colt Popovich and Nick Caley, this is like entering college and getting you get handed the final exam to like a 400 level course in week one of being on campus. I mean, that is a tough defensive line to go against.
Then the other big one is just Nick Caley's institutional knowledge of the Rams and of Sean McVay.
Yep.
This is a weird one because Sean McVay, boy genius, all that, we get it. But in some respects, Caley has the edge. In terms of if D'Amico wants to kind of pick Caley's brain over the next few months about perhaps how they should game plan against McVay, Caley knows more about how McVay calls a game than McVay knows about how Caley's going to call a game.
That's right, yeah.
So we've got a little bit of an ambush factor there from the Texans' perspective.
Yep.
That if, you know, without the Rams having any clue exactly what the Texans' offense is going to look like, hopefully they can gain some kind of an advantage in game planning with Caley's knowledge.
Yeah, that's an late afternoon window game in week one. It's one of the best games of week one. I'm looking at the week one schedule right now. The other really good game, not primetime game, is they're going right up against it, is Green Bay and Detroit. They're on CBS also. They'll probably get the Nance Romo treatment. I'm guessing that's mm-hmm. I think I'm guessing that game though is Ian Eagle is the one who's with JJ Watt this year, right? On CBS?
Yeah. Yeah.
We might get a JJ Watt sighting on that game.
Which game is that then?
The Rams and the Texans. It's a CBS game. Yeah, it's a CBS game.
Yeah, they might get JJ Watt right off the bat.
Might get JJ Watt right out of the chute. Yeah, yeah, that'd be fun. So
and people will be then in the JJ will get the awesome experience of both Rams fans claiming he's a homer
biased.
And Texans fans angry that JJ says anything nice at all about the Rams.
That he's not biased enough. Yes.
He'll get it right off the bat. He'll realize like, "Oh, I just can't win. I got it. Yep."
I would say, Seth, just looking at the schedule, I always like to look at patches of the schedule when it comes out. Like, okay, what's the toughest stretch of schedule? Like, what's the easiest stretch of schedule? And as I look at this schedule for the Texans, I think it a little like last year, it really starts to spice up midway through the season. The stretch that I think is the hardest stretch is weeks 11 through 14, where they go at Tennessee and then a short week to play Buffalo at home. Then they're at Indianapolis, and then there's Sunday night football, like football at Kansas City. So you've got two division road games, which are never easy, even though the Texans are on a crazy winning streak on the road in the division right now. But you get two division games, both on the road, and then interspersed in there are two primetime games against the teams that played in the AFC title game last year.
I guess the first thing that jumped out at me about that stretch was, all right, you got Thursday night football at home versus the Bills.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at the Bills schedule unless they have a bye week the week before that.
I'll look. You keep talking.
The Texans have the advantage there. And they also, man, they've shown that they can really turn Josh Allen into mush at NRG Stadium.
That's true.
So I actually got excited about that stretch, at least from going from at Tennessee, which, come on, Texans, take care of your business versus the Titans. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Then you face a genuine test in a real NFL football team against the Bills at home. They're going to have the short week with the travel schedule being all messed up. The Bills will. So I like that.
Yeah. No, there are definitely aspects I'm excited about with that for sure. The Bills are home for Tampa Bay the week before that. So let's be honest, too.
Week 13,
yeah.
We know for sure Anthony Richardson will be coming off of it. At least his second injury at that point.
Oh,
they'll have played both quarterbacks probably an equal amount during the season. And you're not going to face a good quarterback in week 13. It's either decrepit Daniel Jones or prematurely decrepit Anthony Richardson.
Yep. That's the hope for sure. Now, that said, as I say that weeks 11 through 14 are probably the toughest stretch that they have, I love how the schedule looks down the stretch for the Texans right now on paper. Now, these things, especially by weeks 15 through 18, can all change based on injuries and things like that. But if we're just going on paper right now, their schedule, the final four games of the year, the only division game is the home game to close out the year with the Indianapolis Colts, which is, I think, pretty exciting. There's a chance that could be for something like it was against the Colts 2 years ago. Could be for a playoff spot, could be for the division. But they play three out of four at home to close out the season. And three of the three home games are against teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. Arizona week 15, Las Vegas week 16. Now, those teams are frisky, but they're not great teams. Then you're at L.A. for the Chargers in week 17, which is, that's fine, not a really tough road environment. You're going to, you smoke that team in the playoffs last year, and then you come back home for Indianapolis. I think that is on a schedule that's I think, overall fairly difficult. Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of patsies on this schedule. A lot of average teams to above average teams. That I think is a pretty fortuitous final month of the season right there.
I like that the Chargers game is in week 17, because if they had put it in week 18, it could have made sense. Hey, this might end up being a play-in type of game or whatever, and there's symmetry there because the Chargers got just humiliated by the Texans in the first round of the playoffs last year. But there would also be a good chance if they played in week 18 that the game was meaningless for one of the teams.
Well, they would never play in week 18 because it's always a division game in week 18.
It's always a division game.
Always a division game in week 18, yeah.
So then that's the best possible scenario. Yeah. So week 17 is like that. It'll probably be meaningful for both teams.
Yeah.
So it could be a meaningful team in a rematch of the playoffs from last year. And one of these teams might really need a win to even get into the playoffs.
Yeah, definite juice on that game for sure. For sure. So overall, I mean, look, they're never going to put out a schedule where I'm like, this isn't going to be fun. It's going to be a fun schedule for sure.
Am I missing anything? I never felt overly screwed by any of these scheduling items. I feel like four primetime games is just fine for me. I'm not greedy for more. All right. One of those primetime games is actually an early slot game. So, and that's at home, so it doesn't really screw up our listeners' sleep schedules or the players' sleep schedules as much.
No, especially coming off of the schedule from last year, where I'm not going to sit here and say they screwed the Texans last year. It was fun to be back in the conversation of relevance, like doing things that relevant teams do.
Yeah.
But there's no holiday games this year, which I like. There's only one stretch of three games in 11 days, whereas last year there were two. Because of the Christmas game and whatnot. So, no, this is about as reasonable a schedule as I think you could expect for the Texans here.
Right.
You
know? Even the bye week. Bye week is in week six.
It's a little early. That's a little early.
Yeah. When was it last year?
Week 14.
14.
Yeah.
So at least this is, it's in week six.
Yeah.
So you've still got a long stretch of uninterrupted football after that, but it's not as long as the uninterrupted stretch of football.
What's better, from a player standpoint. What's as a player, what's better, week six or week 14?
I think just week 14, it felt like those last few weeks there, you're really running on fumes.
Yeah.
And I think that...
I feel like the bye week didn't even matter.
When the bye week was that late, and when guys are trying to play through injuries, it feels like that was more of a punishment. I don't... Week six does feel too early, partly because, I mean, the NFL preseason is so easy now, and teams barely play their starters that... Yeah. In an ideal world, I would just smack
like
it smack down in the middle. But yeah, that's I'm not going to complain.
I'd rather
this.
It be a little early than too late, like it was last year. Plus, you get that Buffalo game on Thursday night at home in Week 12, and you get a long stretch. You get that quasi bye week in Week 12 there.
Well,
on the
plus
Thursday game.
you've got a new offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So after six games, you can sit back, assess,
regroup,
self scout some, and figure out exactly what you need to tweak. So yeah, actually, with a brand new offensive coordinator, I'm actually happy that it's week six.
Yeah.
Of the physical fatigue and everything aside, I think it might help out Nick Caley most of all.
Odds on the Texans Chargers being flexed to Sunday Night Football. That's a great point. Now, here's the thing people need to know. Last thing, and then we'll get to headlines. We'll circle back to the schedule. There's a lot to dig in. I just like that we're looking at the schedule now, and we're looking at some of these games, and we're talking about the games with some context. Like, all your thoughts on Caley and the Rams. Like, this is fun. We know when the games are now. We should point out that the date and times for Week 17 and 18, the Chargers game in L.A. and the season finale against the Colts, are TBD. Like they could be Saturday games. They could be Sunday games. They could get flexed to prime time. So there's no date nor time. And obviously, a lot of these games could get flexed, even the ones that have dates and times right now. But odds on the Texans-Chargers getting flexed to Sunday Night Football, as good as any other team, as good as any other game between two playoff teams last year, I would say. I think there's a decent chance.
Yeah, the only check against them is they don't. Neither of those teams have the national sizzle
glitz
that some of the other potential matchups do.
Good quarterback matchup, though. Stroud and Herbert, they got that going for it.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, Payne and Pendergast. The final exercise in day after the schedule release is always, what do we think the record's going to be? Now that we know how the schedule lays out, where the games will be played, we can figure out, okay, are they going over 9.5 wins? That kind of thing. If I had to guess, I think ultimately I wind up at over 9.5 wins. But Seth, let's go through these here and see what we think about these games now. All right? I got it pulled up here.
Sean.
All right, here we go. Okay. I got it pulled up here. That's all right. I got to turn down the volume on something in the studio. There we go. All right. All right, week one at the Los Angeles Rams. Win or loss?
The Texans are not favored in this game.
They are 2.5-point doggy dogs. Yep.
I'll just go ahead and realistically, the Texans' offensive line reshuffled and largely a huge question mark versus that defensive line. I'm not optimistic about that one on the road, so I will say a loss.
I'm L on that one as well. I think they lose. I think it's a good game. I think it's a watchable game, but they come back home and got a little nice long week, you know, an extra day. And you got Tampa Bay coming to town, a good Tampa Bay team, certainly an explosive Tampa Bay team, on Monday Night Football. How are we feeling week two?
That's a win because it's Baker Mayfield and the Bucks at home with that Texans defense playing at home for the first time this year, where the only quarterback who did anything up to the level of his ability really last year at NRG Stadium was Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
But Baker Mayfield, I appreciate what you've done. But no, you, sir, are no Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so 1-1. Now it gets interesting. At the team constructed by the magnificent Gladstone, Jacksonville, week three.
Is Aziz Alshire healthy in this game?
Aziz Alshire is healthy in this game.
Win. Yeah. Win.
Win. Yeah.
Win.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm going win on that
I think even Jaguars players have probably gotten tired of Trevor Lawrence's act, and there's not going to be some, we got to do it for Trevor. These are the guys that wronged him.
Yep.
If anything, they might go a couple of little lookout blocks there. Like, yeah. Oh, watch out for Aziz. Yeah.
Yep.
No, they own Trevor Lawrence psychologically.
You know what's at stake in that game is the Texans' current 11-game road division winning streak that I love so much.
That's right.
They've won 11 in a row on the road in the AFC South. That includes David Culley and Lovie Smith coached games.
Sean, there's one thing that I always love to believe is that past results are 100% a predictor of future results.
Always. Yeah. That's how I Guaranteed. Do my investments. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's exactly that. Buy high.
Explains a lot.
Because it's got to go higher. That's what I always say. So I'm going to just go ahead and say yes, win in that
I
one.
Do think they win. I do think they win that game. All right, then week four, they come back home and play Tennessee at home.
Who
they lost to last year at home.
And again, I'll go back to this offensive line. I'm nervous about this offensive line, particularly on the interior. Those Titans interior defensive linemen, they flat out just about booted Shaq Mason out of the league.
Yeah.
So I'm still nervous about that one, but it is at home versus potentially and probably a rookie quarterback. Win.
Win. Okay. Win for you. I'm going to go win, but I'm nervous about that one. I don't know how much time we need to spend on at Baltimore. Are you predicting the upset here, Seth?
I can't predict an upset, but right now it's an L for me.
It's an L for me, too. All right, so we both got them 3. I think 3-2 at the bye week. I'll take that. I'll sign up. Without knowing who the wins are over, I would sign up for 3-2 at the bye week right now. All right, so they come back from the bye, and it's Monday Night Football. Now we start to get into some games that there's a lot of coin flippers coming up here, man. At Seattle, Monday Night Football, coming off of the bye week. Late start.
Nick Caley, as an offensive coordinator after a bye week, is undefeated. So
it's true.
I am going to take the fact that by this point, CJ will have gotten acquainted with his new teammates, his new offense, his new offensive coordinator, and it will be after a bye week.
Yeah.
A couple of little wrinkles here or there. I'm going to stretch a little bit on this. Did you say the Seahawks are favored in this game?
I haven't seen the lines on any of the games except the first one.
I'm going to say a win versus the Seahawks on Monday night.
I say a win. All right. I'm going to put an L there just to go a little divergent in the woods. So you got them 4-2. I got them 3-3. All right. They come back home. Now they come back home for 3 games in a row. Mm-hmm. So you haven't played three home games in a row. You haven't played a home game since week four. So it will have been a month since they played a home game, and they've got San Francisco in town week 8. San Francisco team that was banged up last year, but high expectations this year.
That's a win.
Okay.
For one, just because it's a win.
Yep.
Two, it's that same aforementioned Texans pass rush at home versus a newly rich Brock Purdy,
yep,
who will have been disappointing people by then. And the 49ers just ain't what they used to be. Win.
I'm going to go win, too. I'm going to go win on that one. Especially for me, they're going to be coming off a loss to Seattle. I think they're going to be, you know, they will not have tasted a win since that Tennessee game in my world, because they'd have lost to Baltimore, had a bye, and lost to Seattle. I think they win that game. Next week, Denver comes to town. The Sean Payton show comes to town. Who do you got in that one?
I'll tell you what, Bo Nix just feels like one of these kinds of quarterbacks that I don't know exactly what he's going to, you know, finish up as in terms of where he is in the quarterback rankings and what have you. Yeah. But I think he's done way better than I thought. I wasn't all that high on him. Sean Payton's done a good job with him. And there's just a feel about Bo Nix that seems like the kind of guy that, like, the Texans do every year. Defensively, they have horrible performances against guys like Bo Nix. So I'll go ahead and give him a loss.
Got an L there. I'm going to go win there. I think they do to Bo Nix in that game what they did to quarterbacks last season. Then Jacksonville rounds out this three-game set at home here in Week 10. Home for Jacksonville. Who do you got in that one, Seth?
Win.
Yeah, I got win, too, in that one as well. All right, so
that'll be the point, too, in the season where I think the Jaguars are really going to start to try to break the mold of expectations and show people what's genuinely possible. And they roll Travis Hunter out there to play 120 snaps or something.
I hope so. All right, next comes the four-game stretch, and we got to rapid-fire these probably. The four-game stretch that I think is the toughest four games of the year. Two division road games with a couple primetime games against arguably the two best teams in the AFC. We'll start week 11 at Tennessee.
I'm going to throw in a loss to Tennessee just because they got to at some point.
Yeah, that would end the I'm going to give it a win, but that winning streak on the road is going to end at some point. Home for Buffalo on Thursday Night Football.
They own Josh Allen in that stadium. Okay. That's a win.
You're going to go win there. I'm going to go win also there. On the short week, the Buffalo's the road team at Indianapolis, week 13.
Those pathetic losers by that point. They're going to be just such a mess. They're going to be playing. They'll have traded for Joe Flacco by that point.
Win there. I'm going to go loss at Indianapolis.
Okay, me too.
Sunday. No, I'm putting you down for a win. Sunday night.
No, no. At Indianapolis. Sorry,
at Indianapolis.
Kansas City, we're about to.
Sunday night, Kansas City. I can't in good conscience pick a win in Kansas City in a primetime cold weather game right now.
Yeah, not right this moment.
Right. So you got an L there as well. So you and I both have them 2-2 in that four-game stretch. Final four games of the year, which I think this is a great runway into the postseason, if indeed this is a postseason team. Home for Arizona.
Win.
Win. I got that as a win. Home for Vegas.
Win.
Win. At Los Angeles Chargers.
Win on that one.
Win on that one. All right, I'm going to go loss.
Because Justin Herbert, especially as it gets down to crunch time, has not shown himself to be one of those guys that has his best games.
Yeah. I'm going to go loss on that one.
So what's the record at that point?
For you, it is, let's see, 8-5. For you, it's 10. It is 11-5.
Oh, okay. So they might have to play to try to win that game, the last game.
The last game for seeding, maybe, if nothing
Very
else.
Very good chance it's not a meaningless game.
Yeah. So they play the Colts. So a win versus the Colts. I got a win versus the Colts as well. I have them at 11-6, which was my same prediction as last year. You, Seth, have them at a nice and optimistic 12-5 with a four-game winning streak, six out of their last seven.
That's
down
right.
The stretch.
Getting hot at the right moment. I'm glad it worked out that way. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, there you go. 12-5 and 11-6. As the Payne and Pendergast official rapid fire predictions.
Unbiased, not homerish at all.
Totally unbiased. And we're totally emptying our savings to bet on over 9.5. Both of us
are.
Put our money where our mouth is. We will do a video that's completely not generated by AI that shows us walking up to a betting window somewhere. To put all this money down, yes. John Lopez is here. B. Scott is in for Reggie Atitula today. Gentlemen?
Yeah, there's nothing homerific about that at all.
Absolutely not. No, 12-5 and 11-6.
Completely objective.
Hey, man.
There's one thing that people come to me for. It's two things. Advanced stats on baseball and my integrity.
but let's just be honest about it. We are not here on May 15th to be crapping on the schedule, talking about how the Texans ain't going to win but seven
Hell
games.
Hell no, man. You know what I mean? Today is like, about hope.
Yeah, exactly. Hope. That's it. Today is about hope.
Yes.
And honestly, from now all the way up up until training camp or through training camp, we should still be hopeful up until the point where the Texans give us a reason not to.
And
I honestly, the biggest question mark for me with this team is just whether or not Nick Caley's a good offensive coordinator. And as a fan, as a sports radio host, as a streamer, any of those things, I can't handle another season of wondering about my offensive coordinator. I would like the Texans to win a lot of games, but more than anything, I just want Nick Caley to be a guy I feel really good about. Yes, please, Nick Caley, if you can't do it for your team or your God or your country, do it for old Sethers.
It's
just
funny.
Yeah, be a good offensive coordinator.
Looking at the schedule through that prism, like through the question being like, when will we know about Nick Caley? Now, keeping in mind,
we all
Bobby Sloak was getting head coaching interviews after his entire first season. Mm-hmm. None of us thought Slowick was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Well, my whole take the entire offseason was we didn't know what we had in Bobby Slowick yet.
That's fine.
After that first year.
But getting fired would have been extreme, right? Like, did you?
I didn't think he would get fired because of potentially D'Amico's allegiance to him.
Yeah.
But he just hadn't, the run game was just so, there were a lot of signs that he didn't know what he was doing in the run game in the first year, and that was a huge question mark.
Sure.
Let me ask you guys this then.
Finish my point. I think in looking at the schedule, that the part of the schedule where we'll kind of have a feel for what Nick Caley's about, coming out of the bye, because you got the bye to, as Seth has pointed out several times today, kind of recalibrate things. Coming out of the bye, you're at Seattle, you're home for San Francisco, and you're home for Denver. Those are three good defenses right there, all in a row.
Yeah, and so for me, I was looking at it right before the bye, just like, since the bye is so early, and this is going to be one of my gripes with the schedule.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. But since the bye is so early, but the last team that you play before the bye is the Baltimore Ravens.
That too.
and before that, you will have at least played the Bucks and the Rams, who have formidable defenses. Mm-hmm. Will you, by the time you get to that early bye, week six, will you have at least a decent feeling for what Nick Caley
that's
is?
That's exactly where I am.
Yeah.
I had when you asked the question, I said the bye.
That's where I'm looking at.
Well, even throw Tennessee in there. Seth just pointed that out last season and again now. Like Tennessee's,
that's a good point.
Their strength is their defense. You know, that's a good defense too. They won a game here last year.
Yeah. And especially their front. Like, and what are the issues and the questions about the Texans' offense?
Yeah.
They lie primarily with the interior offensive line and, of course, what the offense itself is going to look like.
Yep. Really interesting
schedule.
Yeah, I
would say at the very least, if they have a couple of 30-plus point showings before that bye week, I'd feel a lot better about them. Like last year, they didn't really have a lot of – where they were in the rankings offensively didn't also always measure up with the fact that they had never really poured on the points other than that Patriots game in the first half of the season.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Luke Morrow in for Reggie today alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. Have the Texans already failed? That's my question. The fill-in today, I'm asking that as we get ready for this upcoming season with the schedule release earlier this week. You can always text or call the show, 713-572-4610. I was listening to a lot of the station yesterday to hear what everyone thought about the schedule. And I was, let me first say, I was in agreement. This is not me calling out anybody on these airwaves.
No, go ahead.
And I heard, no, I won't do, I think that's already happened to you, right? Recently. I won't do that again. Learned my lesson vicariously. But I heard yesterday, I think both of you guys yesterday said 10 and 7 for the prediction, which is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I listened to In the Drive and, or the drive, I should say. And Ron was, I think, 10 and 7 as well. Clint was 9 and 8. And so it just got me thinking as I heard these predictions, and a lot of, I know Texans fans are saying 10 and 7. And it got me thinking, is this already kind of set up for a failure? If the Texans go 10 and 7 again, and by the way, how much of a shot do you actually give them in that game against the Ravens this year or in that game against the Chiefs this regular season?
Yeah.
If they go 10 and 7 and lose those games, maybe lose them badly, like how do we feel about that season, especially when it's just kind of a repeat of what we just had last year?
No, look, I hadn't thought of it like that. If they go 10 and 7, and you just laid it out, you know, it's by and large, at least on this station, you know, I think Figgy, you ended up 12
yeah,
and 5.
I was, yeah.
All right, there we go. Like, some optimism.
So I did not have them beating the Ravens.
Yeah.
I did have them beating the Chiefs.
Ooh. Okay.
Nighttime December game in Kansas City.
Look at you.
So.
Yeah.
But you acknowledge, I think we all acknowledge, you know, 10 and 7, maybe 11 and 6.
That's probably more reasonable.
That's more reasonable. I hadn't thought of it like that because, flat out, if we are here in however many months it is, you know, in January, and they finish the season, they're going into the playoffs 10 and 7, I think we're all going to be saying, well, that didn't work out like we thought.
Right.
Even though we thought 10 and 7.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
And they probably losing a lot of key games, too. Mm-hmm. We're just like, man, how you lose to the Titans?
Yeah.
Or well, the Jags? Or
that's part of it, because I also heard most people say, oh, they'll go 5-1 against the division, maybe even 6-0.
Yeah.
But if you do the math, if you subtract that 10-7 record, 5-1 against the division, that means 5-6 against the rest of the league. We're talking about a losing team outside of a bad division. That shouldn't be acceptable.
Yeah.
And it'd be 10-7 with three straight years with a young quarterback. It reminds me of almost Drew Brees. He went through that stretch. He had three straight 8-8 seasons in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're kind of wasting the prime of this guy.
Yeah.
You have CJ Stroud on this rookie quarterback where you don't have to pay him yet. And if you're just going to have another 10-7 season and you still are not close to being able to beat the Ravens or maybe even the Chiefs, it's like, man, we're kind of just treading water here and we're not advancing. We're not progressing like we're supposed to be.
I think that's a solid point, like I said, that I hadn't even really thought of. If we're all saying 10-7, then we're saying,
just run it back.
But I think
kind of the new average a little bit.
And this isn't unique to us, but I think we're all confidently hopeful that certain things will work out. Now, that's kind of a fool's errand sometimes. You know, hey, we think the offensive line, but, you know, what I've been saying is they got 17 dudes in the room right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're bound to find 5 or 8 or 7 on game day that are good. But that's still hope. That's still, like, confidence, you know, and maybe hope that they'll do it. Here we are with the wide receivers, really high on some of the, you know, Higgins and Noel that they brought in. But that's still hope, you know?
Yeah.
So if, you know, reasonably looking at it, I feel 10 and 7. If we're still here, we'll be like disappointed.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's my concern is that seems to be the expectation, 10 and 7. But then once that season plays out, it's like, oh, man, third straight year, 10 and 7, win the division, maybe win a playoff game, lose the set. We're no closer to competing for a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you should be doing each year, especially when you have the young quarterback. Do you feel better? Let's run through some of these concerns from a year ago to now.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive coordinator, big question mark.
We don't know which direction that's going to go in. But do you feel better about the offensive coordinator now compared to last year?
Oh, not even close. I was more confident last year.
Right.
100%. Coming off the year that he had, head coaching interviews.
So you don't feel better?
Well, if that's the question, I'm not saying I don't have that hopeful confidence.
But just comparing to last year.
But how I feel about the coordinator now versus last year? I mean, everybody felt good about Bobby Ford.
I actually don't feel good.
Even
about
compared to last year at this time?
Last year, I felt good last year. Honestly, I was more on board of maybe Bobby sticking around for another year and see what they do with the offensive line and kind of shuffle some stuff.
Yeah, I think
I know that wasn't going to happen, but I kind of wanted to see what they do with it, maybe a different offensive line and maybe try to do some other things.
Yeah. Which what about the wide receiving core?
Yeah, I was going to ask that.
Yeah.
I probably felt better. I'm optimistic. I think the ceiling is high for this wide receiving core. I also think maybe these draft picks don't work out and Christian Kirk's still injured. Mm. I think if I'm being honest, I felt better about the group at this time last year in the wide receiver room than I do right now.
I think I did too. Remember the five-headed monster?
Mm-hmm.
None of them were rookies either.
Yeah.
You had Stephon Diggs, you had Tank Dell. Oh boy, what a year he's going to have.
Yeah.
Now, I know there were circumstances that were out of his control, but obviously Nico coming off a good year.
Nico. We thought John Metchie was going to take a step.
We thought, well, but even if you didn't include him, you had Dalton Schultz. Hey, he's bound to, you know, have a better year, I should say. And then you bring in Joe Mixon. All right. You know, and I know we left it specifically to receivers, but the five-headed monster was all experienced, you know, all pretty much proven.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case this year.
No, it's not. Yeah. Offensive line. Do you feel better today about the offensive line than you did this time a year ago?
Now that one, I might say yes,
okay.
simply because of what I put. What I said earlier about sheer numbers, you're bound to find someone. And by the way, I know there are big questions. You and I had this discussion last time we were on the air together about Trent Brown versus Cam Robinson and all that. But they are proven. You do have, you know, another draft pick. You do have some solid options that have at least played and started on the interior line. That one I will say I do have more confidence in the offensive
line. I feel better about that one. I feel better about the future of the offensive line.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about – to me, I'm a little worried about left tackle and the interior for this year, like this year going forward.
Yeah,
I think I'm with you. I feel better about the future. I don't know about the here and now or the start of the season. Might be a little rocky.
Because you did give up – I don't care what y'all say, a top five tackle and Laremy Tunsil. For Cam Robinson right now. I just don't know how that will work out right now.
And then the last one I'll ask, defense obviously supposed to be really good. It was really good last year. But the one position people kind of nitpick is interior defensive line, defensive tackle. Do you feel better about defensive tackles now than you did last year?
I think I do.
Okay.
I think I do. I think bringing in some of these defense – well, I think they're really good on the edges, and they're going to be better on the edges, I feel – which is going to make the interior defensive line, I think, better. And of course, with Fadakasi, back.
Sheldon Rankins.
And Rankins and Mario. What about you? Because I'm sensing you do not.
I was kind of the same.
Yeah.
I don't feel worse. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I feel better. I think I'm kind of neutral.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've been saying all offseason, though, I'm not that concerned. The defense is so good that I think it just – I'm not that worried about interior defensive line.
Yeah.
And maybe it is a slight improvement compared to a year ago, but overall I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah.
On the text line, 713-572-4610 from the 832, they said, based on the 10-7 prediction of 6-10 on-air personalities, did the Texans already fail? I'm pretty sure the Texans don't give a rip about your predictions. No, they haven't already failed. That's fair, but I'd also say this. The Vegas win total is 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just us crazy guys over here at 6-10. Vegas, who they usually know what they're doing, they put the Texans right there around 9-8, 10-7, which would be pretty much a duplicate of the last two seasons.
And we didn't say they already failed, if you want them to be
honest. That was just my question.
We said if we are here at the end of the year, you know, and they're 10-7, I think we'll feel as if, what? That wasn't what we thought it would be.
No, and that's and look, I asked the question. I'll own it. Put it on me. I'll be the wet blanket here.
Mm-hmm.
That was my nickname at the sleepovers growing up. Wet blanket. let's see. Also on the text line, if I don't care if they go 9-8, the bar is to make it to the AFC Championship game.
Now, that is fair.
I think that is fair.
But 9-8 is a much tougher road.
Yeah.
Much way. We know that.
And how confident would you be getting into the playoffs at 9-8?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's because, what we're talking about.
Yeah, because unless you feel like the 8 losses were all hard teams.
And they do have the hardest schedule in the division, but that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, because, and I've brought this up before, it turned into a whole other thing with Ron and my principles when it comes to but I always say, don't bring flowers on the first date because you set the bar too high for following dates. Yeah. And I think when the Texans win 10 games in year one and win a playoff game in year one, you have to keep taking those next steps. In year two, you have to win a second playoff game. Right? And so now here we are in year three where that should be the expectation is to 100% make it to the AFC title game. I mean, at least.
Yeah, because how did y'all feel about the season last year? Do you feel like it was a bit disappointing?
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
And I think part of that reason is because D'Amico Ryan's first year, they won 10 games and made it to and won the playoff game. So now that following year, we expected to get to an AFC championship game and compete with the Chiefs and the Ravens and stuff like that.
Yeah.
From the 8-3-2, they also point out first place schedule. I don't know if that's a concern. But then they also say playoffs is what matters. It matters in both senses. They need to be in the playoffs this year. And then it matters, obviously, that's where whatever you do in the regular season, you have to obviously win games in the playoffs.
Well, the first place schedule makes it you grading on a curve 10-7 versus having a last place schedule, 10-7.
That's fair.
So okay. I think that's what he's talking about, or she, and that's more than fair.
Yeah, no, I can get behind that. That's a good point.
Yeah.
We'll see. But it's me asking the question, hearing all these predictions and thinking, man, if they go 10-7 for the third straight year, that just feels like a letdown when you have the young, cheap quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie today alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig. Hey, is the AFC South being slept on? Could it be more like the NFC North from last year? Get to that in a moment. I do feel I'm filling in for Reggie. It's always a pleasure to be here. I do feel a little bit like him after hearing that intro because the text line, that phone number used to be pasted up here in the studio. It's not anymore. So I had to write it down in an old piece of mail I found in my bag just so I remember.
What's the mail? I'm just kidding.
It's a HelloFresh coupon.
Oh, I got to tell y'all something.
I like HelloFresh.
Yeah, I like HelloFresh. Just real quick, we were talking about I forget what the question was of the day was when we were talking about the IRS. Seth was bringing up the IRS. I forget what it was. Like
Stuff that scare you.
Yeah, like, stuff that scares you.
Simple things that kind of scare you.
Just as sure as you could imagine, I opened the mailbox yesterday. I have a letter from the IRS. That's what we all both said. And she had a letter to the IRS.
Separately, man.
We each got a letter from the IRS. And I'm like, that damn Seth. Because I said I've never been audited ever in my life.
They must be looking at Instagram. You making too much money off that OG sauce. Yeah,
that's right.
You ain't paying no taxes, buddy.
Hey, actually, I am. For the record, people who work for the IRS, you have my forms. Anyway. So I was like, oh, crap. And to the point where, like, we didn't even want to open it. We were staring at it for a while. You know, you get those letters, and you're just like, oh, this is it. So I opened mine, which I'm sure, which ended up being, of course, the same in hers. They miscalculated the something in our tax return, so we actually got a $255 break of what we paid.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, okay. So we got a credit.
News.
Holy crap.
Okay, that's a good one right there.
That was close. I was like, that damn Seth. We're talking about not getting audited, and I get audited. But no, I actually got $255.
There you go.
Hey, you just don't get like bright spots when the IRS send you a letter.
Has that ever happened? They go, hey, man, our bad.
No, right, right. Our bad. People don't give things back. That's nice. That's nice. You open that up. That's a nice present.
Mm-hmm.
Go out for a nice meal at the Sizzler with that.
At least one.
Yeah.
At least one.
On the text line, by the way, that number is 713-572-4610. I've lost these text messages now, so I'm going to paraphrase. Sorry, I'm not shouting out your number. One person said, give McCullers a month before we start having those conversations, 5 to 6 starts. That's fair. And then another text I see here from the 954 said, how long are we going to put Walker in the fourth slot, put Cam Smith in right field, Zach DeZenzo to first base, and bench Christian Walker? I don't think, just like McCullers, I don't think you're benching Christian Walker yet after giving him the contract you did in the offseason, and also because of the back of his baseball card.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you went there because that's what was said about Abreu, and famously by Jeff Bagwell, and we were giving him a hard time. It might happen, but remember what happened with Abreu. They stayed and stayed and stayed and stayed until they even sent him to Florida once. Remember that?
It was 2 years with him, right?
Yeah.
So we went through this for 2 years with him.
Yeah, it might happen, but it isn't going to happen yet.
No, it's too early into that contract. But yeah, maybe eventually. All right, I teased this. Could the AFC South this year be like the NFC North last year, which was a surprise division, put three teams in the playoffs? That probably sounds crazy if you're a Texans fan, but I'll lay out my case in a moment. First, I would just, to tee it up, I would ask, how do you feel about this division? Do you feel comfortable in the Texans, the expectations that the Texans should comfortably win the division this year?
I do want to get to your point because I thought it was an interesting one, and I actually wrote down a couple of, like, sort of devil's advocate type things of, okay, how would we state the case that the division could be good? But to answer your question, I think the division is the Texans. It's going to absolutely be the Texans, start to finish. I could see – I think we did our game-by-game pick'em yesterday with B. Scott. And I had them winning, I think, all but one or either all of their division games this year. They're going to win the division. But state your case, because I did write down a couple of notes on, like, well, what if this division is good?
Yeah, and that's where I'm at, too, because I'm with you. This is the Texans division, but I can be a bit neurotic. So I was thinking, I was looking at the schedule breakdown after the schedules came out the other night, and it got me a little worried, because the reason why I compare it to the NFC North last year is the Vikings, the Bears, the Packers, even the Lions, all overachieved last year. They exceeded expectations. And when you go back and you look, all of those teams played top nine easiest schedules last year. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that schedule was playing the AFC South, but the Packers, Lions, Vikings, they had three of the best records in the NFC, and they got to beat up on some weaker competition. Okay, how does that relate to the AFC South? Well, if you look at the schedules this year, everybody except the Texans in that division, the Titans, the Colts, the Jaguars, have top nine easiest schedules this year. And you might think, well, these teams aren't very good. They might win a few more games, but not enough with these schedules because they're not good enough. Fair. But if you go back and look, the Vikings last year, their win total was 6.5. They ended up winning 14 games and made the playoffs. It's been five straight years that a team with a win total under 7 to start the year ended up making the playoffs. Could that be the Colts or the Jaguars this year with these easier schedules? Could this division actually be better than a lot of people think just simply because the easier schedules?
I that's one of the things I put down, easier schedules. But I think what really complicates things for and you can't argue with ninth easiest. I mean, that's analytics, that's data, that's statistics, that just based on last season. But when you eyeball this thing, You know how the NFL schedule works. If you don't, you're designated two divisions that you play, and then the first place team against other teams will face a couple of, you know, better teams. The last place team will face easier teams. So the designated divisions are tough. Like, the designated divisions are the NFC North this year. AFC West. Because they play the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Broncos and the Raiders. So that's pretty tough. But your point is solid. Where I went with it is kind of the speculation or projection of quarterbacks in this division.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it comes down to the quarterback. If Anthony Richardson figures something out, that could be a fly in the ointment. Trevor Lawrence, that could be a fly in the ointment. Daniel Jones, or whatever. If Cam Ward is a number one overall pick that looks the part, that's where I would maybe say, if I had to make a case, that maybe they could make some noise this year.
We see every year a first-year head coach makes the playoff. I forget how many years that streak's at. I think it might be like 10 straight years. And obviously we know it well with D'Amico Ryans did it here at the Texans 2 years ago. So I look to the Jaguars, where maybe this is finally the right fit. I know this is like the fourth head coach they've brought in for Trevor Lawrence. I don't know. Maybe this one finally works. We always see these first-year head coaches catch the leagues by surprise. We saw the Colts 2 years ago almost made the playoffs with Gardner Minshew. Maybe Daniel Jones can be to that level. And the Jaguars, by the way, also have the second easiest schedule for the final 7 weeks of the season. So even if they're playing like .500 football, there might be some winnable games to make a run down the stretch of the season. no one was seeing the Vikings winning 14 games last year. I don't think the Lions were even expected to win 15, right? The Packers winning, what, 12 games last year. I think those were all surprises. This would obviously qualify as surprises as well, but I just worry that the gap, I felt like, has already shrunk a little bit this offseason, mm-hmm. and then you look at, they all have easier schedules than the Texans. They might have more winnable games that will further shrink the gap in this division.
No, and you mentioned the back end of the schedule. When you have easier teams at the back end, you're a little more beat up. You maybe know exactly where you are. You've established yourself one way or another. You kind of gain, you know, a sense of momentum, you know, over the course of the back end of the year. The other thing that might come into play here, we know that what the Texans' defense is going to be. There are good defenses in this division. There are flat-out good defenses mm-hmm. in this division. And so you steal a game here or there, all of a sudden, you know, things get interesting as well. So I don't think so. I think it's going to be a Texans, you know, wire-to-wire, so to speak. But you could, those would be the two ways I would argue it.
Which team, I'm sure you guys have talked about this, but since I'm just hanging out with you today, which team would you be most concerned? It might not be a big concern, as we mm-hmm. both agree. I do think this is the Texans division. I don't want to sound the alarms here. I think the Texans do win this division and pretty sweat-free, I would like to hope. But which team in this division do you feel like does have the highest upside this year, outside of the Texans?
Man, that's part of the reason I think, you know, there are some big questions. But yeah. I don't have a lot of faith in Liam Cohen and the Jaguars, but they do have Trevor Lawrence. We'll see if anything gets unlocked there. I don't have a lot of faith in either Anthony Richardson or Daniel Jones. So there's that. That kind of leaves it down to the Titans, who have a pretty good defensive front. You know, obviously have added a couple of things on the offensive line, which could maybe help Cam Ward, I guess. I mean, would you say the Titans might be the scariest team in the division?
This year?
Yeah.
I don't know about this year. I think you could kind of see the Jack. To me, I'm worried that mm-hmm. somebody gonna lock Trevor Lawrence,
yeah.
and they got some pieces there. Travis Hunter, they got other pieces
yeah.
there too.
Yeah.
Where it'd be like, man, they clicking now.
I guess. What about you?
I think the Jaguars. Yeah, yeah. I think so. You add Travis Hunter. Hopefully, the new coach gets something out of Trevor Lawrence. And look, they were what, 8-3?
Yeah.
Was that 2 years ago now? Before Trevor Lawrence got injured, they did make the playoffs that 1 year with Doug Peterson. So I think there's still some upside there. I think it was Bleacher Report predict them to win 10 games this year.
Nah, that's the one. I was trying to remember who it yeah. was. I saw it in passing. Yeah. I was like, 10-7?
Yeah. They have one of the easiest schedules in the league. So things just might line. I don't know if they're a great team, but things might line up where they can have some success this year.
Yeah.
We'll see. We got a long way to go.
All right, the schedule is out, and a lot of times you look at it, all right, you look at the good and the bad. You look at the positive, the negative, the things that may give you some concern, the things where you're like, ooh, this is good. We lucked out with this one. We're fortunate with this one. You can text some of yours in here on the text line, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch as well. I'll kick it out, Clint. Like, I kind of really look at little things to me. And one thing for me that I love when I look at this schedule for the Texans, I would personally say, now some may disagree, but I would personally say the Texans have 4 games in which I would say they flatly don't have the quarterback advantage.
Okay.
And I think that's always a good thing. I think they're a team that is well coached for the most part, and they've got the quarterback advantage, or at least a push, in every game they play except for the 4, and that is Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, and
Stafford.
And Stafford, yeah, those would be the 4. Everybody else, I believe, either they clearly have the advantage or, you know, Herbert, it's a push, you know, to me, or they're in the same space. And I think that is a big deal. When you go into games, and when you got 17 of them, and you go into games, and you look over, you're like, all right, now it's not everything, but you look over and you understand those guys affect the game more than anybody else, and your guy's better than their guy. We can see every week in the NFL teams win that. So I do think, for me, that is a real positive looking at the schedule. And I like the fact that for this team, the Texans, that's usually an indoor team or a better weather team, they got one cold game, and that is December 7th against Kansas City. That's one of the first things I looked at the back of the schedule, and I'm looking at it, all right, home game against the Colts, Dome, December 28th, that could be a tough spot. Where are you at? You're in SoFi Stadium in L.A. You got another home game. In December, you got two home games in December, back-to-back at NRG, and then that one cold game December 7th you play against the Chiefs. Even November 30th is in a dome in Indy. So I think that is a real good thing that they ain't rolling to. They don't got a couple of games in the back end in really cold spots.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. I mean, it's you can get into some real problems schedule-wise if you got Buffalo late at their place. You got Baltimore mm-hmm. late at their place. You got Kansas City late at their place. Green Bay, if they were on the schedule. I mean, you could get in a real pinch. And the fact that the Texans don't have that, being an indoor team, that is a plus for sure.
Yeah, they get Baltimore October 5th. You've been in Seattle. That Seattle one could have been a later year game. A lot of people don't think about Seattle when it gets the weather, but it can get cold and windy in Seattle. So I think they're in real good shape. And if you are one that is hoping, you know, for, I think, a dream scenario to potentially be up there trying to fight for a bye, like, and try to control that, you're loving the end of that. Your mm-hmm. end of the year, you're in a good spot. What are some of the things that you like, the positive you liked seeing the schedule for the Texans?
Oh, there's a lot of positive for me, man. I mean, it's the no murderers row. I think overall the difficulty is not overwhelming. It may be after we see some of these teams and find out who they really are, but right now it doesn't look like the difficulty is overwhelming. I personally love where the bye's at, given who the Texans are. You know, last year they started earlier than everybody else and had a late bye, and we heard D'Amico Ryans talk about how tough that stretch was to get to that bye. This year, you know, counting training camp, you're looking at the it's week six is your bye, so you know you're looking at 8 to 9 weeks into the season if you count training camp that you're going to have that bye. It'll break up just the monotony of football and the grind of football. It'll break up the overall season, including preseason, a bit. And so I think there's some good there. You know, there's I love the finish that you talked about, the last four games of the season. I do think the Texans are a team that are more than likely going to need to play at least 16 games, like legitimately all out balls to the wall. Maybe even 17 games. If they didn't live in a poor division, I think it'd be 17. There's a chance they could have this thing wrapped up by week 18, to be completely honest with you. But I'm not betting on it. So the last four games of the season, three of them being at home, you know, I think that's a plus.
And not just three of them being at home, but the opponents too.
Yeah, Arizona, Vegas, the LA Chargers, and the Indianapolis Colts.
Those are very winnable
games. Very winnable games, yeah. There's a lot to like about the schedule. I think the schedule gods were definitely in favor of the Texans this year. Yep. Definitely. You talk about the stretches of games where you got several in a row. It was very possible that this season could turn up, boy, and you've got four or five games in a row where you're just like, whoo.
Yeah, like
that could be scary.
Like last year, you had that stretch of home to the Dolphins, at Kansas City, and then home to Baltimore. In 10 days. Like, you don't really – and then they had another stretch in there where it was – now, obviously, when you get into a season, you don't know what it is, but they had a stretch last year. It was like Packers, Lions, Cowboys, like all in a division game all at once. And obviously, the Cowboys were a different team.
Yep.
But so. You just never know how it gets. What about concerns for you from the schedule? When you look at the schedule – anything jump out as a concern for you?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as much as a concern as it is just a reality. I think the first five games of the season, like this team's going to have a hell of a training camp. I think you're going to have a hell of a preseason. You got the L.A. Rams in L.A. You got Tampa Bay at home. You got Baltimore at their place all before the bye. So there's 5 weeks, and then you have the bye the first 5 weeks of your season. I think you're going to be very, very telling, not just for the division because you got two division games in there, but you got three like playoff teams from last year and three teams that pose some real problems in the Rams, the Buccaneers and the Ravens. So by the bye week, as fans, we're going to know what we have in the Texans. So I think that first stretch, while, you know, I don't necessarily view it as a concern, I just think it's going to be tough. And then that other stretch there in the middle of the schedule where you got Buffalo on Thursday night, you got Indy on the road, then you got Kansas City on the road on Monday night. That's probably the toughest stretch of three. The best team in the division with arguably the best two teams on your schedule right there in a row.
If the Colts are, you know, a good football team, if they're one of the ones battling with you, now that becomes one of those stretches that you're talking about. Because on the road with Indy, if they figure out their quarterback position to a point where they're competitive like that, then that becomes a tough
shot. Yeah, well, the other thing that concerns me a bit with the schedule is you got a bunch of teams on here that I think could pose some real problems, right? You don't have a bunch of teams. You don't have a handful of teams that are just like, damn, we got to slay the dragon, and then you got a bunch of layups, right? You got a bunch of teams that I think people are probably categorizing as wins: the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the San Francisco 49ers, the Denver Broncos, right? The Arizona Cardinals, the Seattle Seahawks, the Chargers, right? Those are wins, either whether based on last year or based on this year. Like, I mean, every one of those teams I could see being a playoff team and being a real problem in the playoffs.
Saying that to themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, so I think that's where it's at, man. The Texans have a real chance this year with this schedule. You're either going to fall back and you're going to be in that middle of the pack, and that's kind of where you're going to live with C.J. Stroud during his rookie contract, or you're going to take the next step. You're going to dominate teams that right now are in the same tier with you, and then you're going to get up there and compete your ass off against the top dogs. I think it's going to go one direction or the other. I don't know that we're going to look up and this thing be one of those – still, if you know, wondering if they're what tier they're in at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Got them coming.
You got them coming. Got them coming. They're right there.
Well, that was quick.
They got in. They got in here. Clint got his. He got it all right there. He got a little corn, potato.
Special sauce. Typically not a sauce guy with my crawfish, but I'll give it a shot. I trust you.
It's on the side here.
I trust you.
What'd you get? 3 pounds?
I think that's just two. We're
building up.
My in show poundage is two. It's my limit, man. I got to be able to knock it out in the break. It's actually three.
That's on purpose.
But they suggested
Tyler, right?
Two.
There's no way his end game poundage. That's on purpose. I mean, it's got to be.
I mean, it came out naturally last week, and I thought it sounded
so
really good. I can't get on the same level of that fellow that's got that Houndem and Poundem.
Houndem and Poundem. Jim Adler.
I can't get on that one, but I don't think it's Jim. I think you just combined two different.
Did I say
attorneys.
Jim Adler? What did I say?
The Texas Hammer, but I think it's actually
what's his name?
It's Dick.
Tyler?
It's Dick.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, yeah. Get Dick. Yeah.
I'll hound him and pound him.
Yeah, no. You're right. That ain't Jimmy.
Ooh.
You're right.
Yeah. Bottom line is, ain't neither one of them Mo Karam injury lawyers, so it don't matter. But you know where I was going with it.
You said hound him and pound him, and then old Jamie's over there snickering at you as soon as you said it right there. You know, she's hanging him and banging him too right now. So come on out here. But again, Clint, he's got a quick 2 pounds, but listen. You get up here.
They pass the eye test.
They do, don't they? I see the little season
mid,
there.
Here's the deal. It's they got to be. It's got to be between kind of mid to large, right? These are probably large, I would guess, but I like them to be mid to large because if the shell gets too dark, it'll tear your fingers up and you can't suck the head the way you're supposed to suck the head, right? So the size, the color. It doesn't seem like that they're not real wet. I prefer the traditional. I'll call it traditional way of bull and crawfish. They're not real wet. What I love about them too, they're not overloaded. So your poundage is not overloaded with potatoes and corn. And
it's got to optimize the poundage,
Tyler. You do. It is very important, right? And the sauce is. It's sexy, so I'll try it. If I'm gonna be honest with you, if it thickens up or something, I'm probably not gonna give it a shot. But it looks like it's butter and maybe some lemon lime.
I love dipping in
maybe a little either Louisiana Tabasco
Just butter and hot sauce. There right you there. Go. I mean, let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah, not playing around with a little butter and hot sauce. No,
that's what it looks like, butter and hot sauce.
There it is. There it is. That looks good.
Come on, baby.
I tell you, Lauren loves to dip it in her little butter.
She likes hot sauce?
I don't know if she likes the hot sauce, but she likes to sit right there and have me open them up and then put them in her little bowl, and she just likes to go to work.
It's going
to
be a tough segment for me.
Yeah, I know it.
It's going to be a tough segment. I got 13 more minutes, and I got to stare at these things.
I was going to say, it's a long one, too. Get on out here. By the way, all this he's breaking down, if you're just listening, again, we are here in Katy at Stars Sports Bar and Grill, and you can get these very bugs that he's talking about. Got the corn, got the potato in there as well. $30 all you can eat all day long. All day until close, $30 all you can eat. So bring your ass. It's just that simple. Bring your ass, my man Russell. He didn't came out here. You might as well get you some. Russell,
attack that ass.
That's all right. Shout out to Russell. Russell said he was a part of the ones who helped build NRG Stadium. I see you out there, Russell. Come on out here.
Hey, I don't know if you still got it in your bag, Russ, but get ready because they're going to need some upgrades coming out of the corner.
They're
going to spend some money to upgrade NRG. I hope you still got your hammer and them nails, brother.
And 97 might be ready for you to come on out again.
You used to be caught relying.
Like, get ready to lay them bricks again. So, but no, man, it's a good time to be at HAD out here. All right, Clint, I wanted to get into this at 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in as well. Listen, I think we fairly have questions about the offense, right? I think especially the offensive line, after everything you saw what happened last year and what they brought in as reinforcements, there are very fair questions to have for this offense. But I think most everybody is at worst extremely confident on what this defense can be. We've talked about it, top five, it feels like, top 10 at the absolute worst, the way this defense looks. But, Clint, I think the way we can really tell about how good a defense is against what do you do against the top offenses. Right, this defense is going to smother the hell out of Cam Ward and the Titans. Like, I mean, they're going to smother them. Probably going to do the same to Daniel Jones and Anthony Richardson. Probably are going to give, teams like the Raiders hell. Probably even Sean Payton, the Broncos, that might be. They're going to smother teams that don't have, a lot of weapons and things. Like, you can look at it. Jacksonville, they probably will give them hell. Depending on what Hunter and Brian Thomas bring to the table. But you can see most of them. But it's those really good offenses, right, Clint? That's how you can tell how good a defense is. How do you fare against? Because it don't make no difference. Like, you can really have a defense look good if you give up 6 points to the Titans, but you give up 28 to the Ravens, or you give up 32 to the Ravens. How are they going to be? And I think the thought that I want to go is how confident and how do you feel about this defense as they go up against the top offenses? And they have several, Clint, to look at this year. Would you put the Rams in that?
Absolutely.
The Rams there.
Right out of the gate.
Hey,
yeah.
The Bucs, I know you maybe not think Tampa, but Tampa had the number 3 overall total offense last year. That's a group, and they added another receiver, the kid from Ohio State. They added him. The Ravens, of course, you know what they have done to you here recently. They put up 32, 31 easy on you last year. And then you got the Bills, who were the number one scoring offense in football last year. Obviously the Chiefs, who have obviously Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. They are more healthy this year. I think the Chargers are a team. They've added to their running back room. They've added receivers. That's another group. How confident are you that the Texans will be able to play really, really well against those top offenses?
Very confident.
Yeah.
Very confident. I love, obviously, we saw last year multiple times them be able to get after a quarterback, that had been comfortable for the most part of the year, right? I mean, so the ability to get after the quarterback is one thing. The ability to do that and not have to bring additional helmets, bring safeties, bring backers, bring nickel defenders, the ability to do that is there. We've seen it. Right now, what's beautiful, what I think is most beautiful about the stride that the Texans defense has made this year is when I look at their secondary, and I include their nickel defenders in that secondary,
I love the options, right? Depending on what an offense is trying to throw at you from a personnel standpoint, you got guys that can cover tight ends, that can be physical and rush. And I'm talking about, again, in the secondary. I'm not talking about linebackers and D linemen. I'm talking the secondary. You got guys that are really, really good and have great instincts rushing the passer. You have guys that are long and have great instincts in playing zone defense. You got the ability to slide Kamari Lassiter in, or you can leave him outside and bring another a third corner in. I think the kid they drafted out of USC this year is going to be a really, really good player, at least in that role. So you've got a nickel coverage package. You've got a nickel zone package. You've got a nickel pressure package. You've got depth at all positions. I think the secondary takes his defense to the next level. And the most important part about that is you're talking about guys that have the ability to show one look and then shift into something else, which is what you have to do against the experienced quarterbacks in this league. You can't show them a picture and then stay in that snap after snap after snap after snap. You've got to be able to move. You've got to be able to shift around. You've got to be able to change personnel. You've got to be able to give them different looks. We know D'Amico Ryans can do that. The question is will the Texans personnel ever get to a point where he has the ability to do it? And I think they are. They're there right now.
Yeah, you bring up the point, man. You can rush the passer the way they can. And we, as you said, we saw with D'Amico, hell, if he wants to, he can load up and bring pressure and bring blitzes. If we remember the number he did on Caleb Williams, which led CJ to have to let him know about things. The number he did on other quarterbacks where he just said, F it. I'm just going to bring the blitz to go along with guys. And not just bring the blitz to get linebackers or safeties in, but to bring the blitz. There are multiple times he brought blitzes with Petrie that allowed guys like Will and Daniil to get one-on-one against guys that can't touch him. And that was the whole deal, was to get, you know, advantages and matchups, and he's been able to do that. But you marry their pass rush with what their potential could be in the secondary, and it is nasty. And, Clint, this is the thing about this defense that if you're a Texans fan, you got to be excited as hell about, is they got a bunch of guys that have been good and are good currently that you get the feel just by experience and age that this is not the best that they're going to be, right? Like, we look and see Kamari Lassiter and you think, well, now he's a full year. He knows what training camp is. He knows it's his job. He's played a full year. He's got to have huge confidence. There's probably a step for him. There's probably – we saw Petrie in this defense get comfortable. There's maybe a step for him. The other kid in the back end that they got, the kid from USC whose name is just escaping, Kalen Bullock. There's got to be another step with him. Hell, Will. We saw Will make a jump. Another step. That's the other part, is they've got guys that you know are going to get better.
Here's the interesting thing about Kamari Lassiter, because I think that's the key here, right? And this is not an effort for me to be right from my bold prediction last year at all. It's not. But I'm not sure that he's not good. That he, the best place for Kalen Bullock isn't inside at a nickel defender. Kamari Lassiter. Like, and I'm not saying that he's not good enough. Like, last year, my thought was he's not good enough to be outside. He needs to be sheltered inside, right? He needs to be protected a bit inside.
You're saying now,
I was wrong on that
perspective.
Bingo. I'm talking about impacting the game, right? Like, outside, there's D'Amico's going to, with the exception of obviously Stingley. Stingley's a guy that when you need him, he travels, he can do all that, right? Kamari Lassiter is going to be a guy that more times than not is going to be soft. He's not going to take a lot of risk in terms of undercutting. And I don't think it's by design. I think it's just D'Amico's defense, right? There's going to be some protection there. There's going to be maybe some passive play there. I'm not sure that him, as physical as he is and the instincts that he has, is not able to impact the game in a much bigger way if they get him down there in the mix. Now, obviously, you got Jalen Petrie, but you're talking about two total different players. One's a coverage defender, and one is more of a rusher and a zone defender. So it's going to take both of them, but I'm not sure that he doesn't impact the game more from inside.
Yeah.
And so, and you, you,
that option. The Ravens game is a good reminder. He slid in. Yeah. He forced a safety.
Well, you were kind of handcuffed last year because every time you tried to get Jeff Okuda or one of these dudes in the game, they got absolute torched, right? Yeah. So you don't have the ability to move him around. Now, if you've got the ability to move him around, you look at the Davante Adams touchdown with the Jets when he caught it over Jalen Petrie, right? You take that completely out of the mix. Now, I'm not saying Davante Adams doesn't beat Kamari Lassiter if he's pressed in the slot, but you've got a cover defender that can be in his hip pocket at least now. So you've got – there's just a – that is a – D'Amico's ability to do that this year is a game changer for this defense.
Text line coming in. The linebackers are going to be a liability in coverage. Christian Harris would certainly help that. E.J. Speed, I think, are guys that have a better chance at that. I can understand that. When you get guys like Henry Toa Toa and Aziz locked up. To me, it's not even that. To me, the only thing that I would worry about is we talked about how do they perform against these good teams is when teams like the Ravens, teams like Buffalo, Kansas City did it to them, yeah. Especially in the first, is if they run the ball. And well, like that to me is the thing that could be the hurt for this team.
Well, but let's go back to the versatility now with the different personnel. Now I'm assuming there's some guys that work out, and I mean they may be flops, maybe in the same position. But like last year, like I mean we all knew, anybody that watches football knew that if you put Aziz Alshire against the Chiefs in zone coverage in the middle of the field, Kelsey's going to torch him.
Yeah.
Right. It may not be all game long, but Kelsey and Mahomes are eventually going to get him, right? And their deal is most sometimes it takes three quarters, but they eventually get you and it puts you down two scores and the game's over, right? The truth of the matter is last year you didn't have many options. Your hands were D'Amico's injuries, hands were tied from a perspective of what do you do defensively, right? This year. You can do things again. I'm talking about like put Kamari Lassiter inside and then play man and put him on Travis Kelce or put him on a tight end that's able to work the middle of the field better. And you have a much better chance than if Aziz Alshire is roaming center field. I mean, the texter's right.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.